you'll remember in last month's scripture list that was passed out, James 1 verses 13 through 15 was some scripture that was there. And as I was reviewing the scripture, God laid some things on my heart, and I tried to develop some thoughts that I would bring to you tonight. And so I trust that it would be a help to you. James chapter 1, I want to talk to you about sin. And you may be thinking, well, you know, I'm good. I'm good in that department. Well, that's good. That's good that you're good. But I'm going to talk to you about some things as far as what allows sin into our life right here out of James chapter 1. So if you would, please stand and we'll take a look at how sin gets into our lives, okay? And the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so we all wrestle with this thing called sin. And sin begins as a temptation. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Lust, temptation, has a baby. It births something in your life. You know, babies, they're so exciting, aren't they? I mean, you know, somebody has a baby and everybody just coos and woos over it. And that's kind of the way sin is at first. You know, it just seems to be so sweet and cuddly and just so pleasurable. I always have a problem with people who always preach that sin is no fun. Now listen, nobody's going to believe you. So if you're a preacher in our congregation tonight and you've been preaching that sin is no fun, stop it. No one's going to believe that. We all know better. Even the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin. But that's not the end. If sin wasn't fun, it wouldn't be tempting. And it's enticing. But the problem is not that sin's fun. The problem is it doesn't end in fun. It always starts out with a promise, but it'll always leave you bankrupt. Always. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Let's read it here in verse number 13, 14, and 15. James 1, and we'll just read verse 16 too. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And if it just ended there, well, men probably would, and when I say men, I mean mankind, they would think, well, you know, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that's not the finish. Because the scripture says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then James gave a word of admonition. He said in verse number 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go into sin. So, well, it looks fun. Well, it probably has some in it. It looks like I could get some good out of it. Well, it certainly promises that, doesn't it? But in the end, all sin. All sin. Not some of it. Not even most of it. All sin ends the same way. Death. Sin kills everything it comes in contact with. I've seen sin kill marriages. I've seen it kill health. I've seen it kill joy. I've seen it kill peace. I've seen it kill families. I've seen sin kill, and you have too. And sin is a very serious thing. It's not something to mock at. It's not something to play around with. It's serious business. And while you may be standing there thinking, you know what, I'm a Christian, and I'm not tempted, well, I don't believe you. I don't know which I don't believe. That you're a Christian or you're not tempted. We're all tempted. Whether you're a Christian or not. Is that right, brethren? Everyone's tempted. As a matter of fact, if you are a Christian, you're probably tempted more. That's right. You say, well, I'm a good Christian. Well, that means you're probably even tempted that much more. It's the good Christians that the devil's really coming after. Now, he'll come after anybody. He'll take anybody he can get off course. But it's those that are doing a lot for the Lord that the devil's trying to get off course. The devil bothering you lately? Say, preacher, the devil has been bothering me. He's been bothering me. Well, that may be a pretty good indication that he's trying to get you off course, because you're on the right course and you're making a difference. And I want to try everything within my being, with God's help, to encourage you to stay the course. Let's pray. Father, help me to help your people tonight, I pray. God, I pray you'd use your word, speak to our hearts, help us to know, help us to understand, Lord. Open our understanding to your word. And I pray that you would speak to my heart and the hearts of your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about temptation a little bit, then sin. But I want you to understand that the temptation that I'm talking to you about is not a testing. Now, God tries people. God tests people. And Satan tempts people. Now, sometimes in our English version of the Bible, and I have a King James Bible because I believe the King James is the Word of God. I know it is for the English-speaking people. I'm 100% sure of it. I absolutely trust the text that it come from, and I know it is God-breathed. It's God-ordained. It's why I have a King James Bible. However, I know that our English language is a little weak in some ways, and that doesn't mean that God's work is weak. It just means our language is weak when it tries to translate words or transliterate words from the text that it came from into what we have. And so there's sometimes that the Scripture uses the word tempt when God is dealing with one of his servants. God tempted Abraham. But now, God doesn't tempt a man to do evil. As a matter of fact, James made it very clear here in verse number 13 that God cannot be tempted with evil. Look at it. Neither tempteth he any man. And so what the word there is, when you look it up, it's test. He tried. He tested Abraham's faith. This was a test of his faith. Now, God will test my faith. God will test your faith. And the reason God tests our faith, the reason God proves our faith, is to strengthen us. It's to grow our faith. It's to stretch our faith. It's to increase our faith. It's to let us learn what it is to depend on God for greater faith. And so God's tests in my life are to strengthen me, to help me to stand stronger in my position for Christ. Now, Satan doesn't test us. He tempts us. He tempts us to do evil. He tempts us to sin. He tempts us to bring reproach against Christ and against Jesus. And when Satan tempts me, he's not tempting me to make me stronger. He's tempting me to make me weaker. When Satan tempts me, he's not tempting me to be stronger but weaker. And he's not tempting me to stand stronger. He's tempting me to fall, not stand. Now, the way he comes to tempt us, to make us think that he has a good proposition for us. It goes all the way back to the garden, doesn't it? It goes all the way back. Well, look here. Look what we have here. Here's a tree. And God's been holding this back from you. You know, you might actually be better off if you took from this. And he will always tell you that lie. That is a lie of the devil. Anytime we venture to do things that God says we shouldn't do, nothing good's going to come from it, brethren. Amen? Nothing good. So let's see what James is saying here. James is not talking about a testing of our faith. Now, he does mention this, notice if you would, in the early part of this chapter. Go back, and if you would, in verse number 1 and 2. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. You mean that we're to count it joy when Satan tempts us? No, he's not talking about Satan tempting you. He's talking about God trying you. God will allow trials in your life to strengthen your faith, and you count that as joy because God's going to use that to make you stronger. He's going to use that so you can be an overcomer. God doesn't allow trials in our lives, as I said, for us to fall. That's Satan. And he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, you see that? The trying of your faith worketh patience. God wants to try us so our faith can be strengthened. And he talks about the things that will happen when our faith is strengthened. Our faith is tried. It works. When our faith is tried, it gives us patience. And our patience will have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It helps us to be a more mature Christian. But when Satan tempts us, he wants us to fall. He wants us to get out of God's will. He wants us to get into sin. He wants us to ruin our testimony. And he wants us to bring down other people around us. Amen? That's right. And so let's see what James says. He says this. He said, now, he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. So I want to talk to you first of all about a possibility. I want you to do something. If you write in your Bible, I want you, if you have not already, I want you to underline the word when in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, not if. Because you're going to be tempted. It's not a matter of if you're going to be tempted. It's a matter of when you are, know what's happening. That's what James is saying. And he said, you are going to be tempted. All right? And as I've said, there are some people who say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. You don't know what you're going to do and not do. If it were not for the grace of God, we don't know where we would be. And we need to understand that. I don't know about these folks that are always saying, well, I'm determined. Determination is not what will get you through temptation. Dependence is, right? You have to learn what it is to trust Christ, to lean on Him, to trust His Word. I was talking to our young people at the camp Monday night, and as I was talking to them, I had a compass with me. And I said, you know what? If you've ever been lost, you need one of these, a compass. I was shocked at how many young people knew what a compass was with all these new age technology today. And I asked them to raise their hand if they knew what it was. I mean, a good 90% of the young people raised their hand. I was shocked. You know, a compass sometimes is hard to trust. Sometimes when you get out and you're in the deep in the woods and the compass is saying go this way, and you just, you know, well, I have this gut that I ought to go this way, or I just got this feeling that I came from that way. You can't trust your gut. You can't trust your feelings. You trust the compass, right? You trust the compass. What's my compass, preacher? This is your compass. This is your guide. This is your navigator, the Word of God. And sometimes the Word of God's not going to, you know, it's not going to sound right to you. It's, you know, you're just going to have to accept it by faith. You may not be able to reason what it's saying. You may not be able to wrap your mind around it, but you have to trust what God is saying. I'm not preaching blind faith. I'm just saying that sometimes, though I don't fully understand it, I trust it. Though I don't always see what God is doing, I trust Him. There's just an old saying that, you know, I may not always be able to trace His hand, but I trust His heart. I just know that God is always right. And so James is saying here in verse number 13, let no man say, when he is tempted, you're going to be tempted. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know what the temptation is going to be. I just know that all people are tempted. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, now I'm a Christian, that means you're going to be tempted that much more. Please understand that. Well, I'm a good Christian. I'm a preacher, or I'm a deacon, or I'm a teacher, or I just love Jesus, preacher. I believe you, but listen to me. Those are the kind of people that the devil's coming after. As a matter of fact, if you're not being tempted, I check up. If you're rarely being tempted, or if you're not under assault on a regular basis, you need to check yourself and find out why is the forces of hell not coming against me? And so he said, let no man say when he is tempted. It's just a when. It's not a matter of, well, will I ever be tempted now that I'm saved? You're going to be tempted on a regular basis. You're going to be tempted. So you need to be armed. You need to be ready. And then he said this. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. It's God's fault. That seems to be the go-to now. It was the go-to in the very beginning, wasn't it? So Satan goes to Eve, goes around Adam, goes to Eve. Eve gives to Adam, he sins, and then God comes to the federal head and he says, Adam, he said, what have you done? Have you eaten of the tree that I told you that thou shalt not eat thereof? And Adam said, well, Lord, you put me in a hard place. I'm paraphrasing. So you put me in a hard place by giving me this woman. It's God's fault, it's the woman's fault. Today it's the parents' fault, it's the preacher's fault, it's the church's fault, it's the neighbor's fault, it's the neighborhood's fault, it's the environment's fault, it's the situation's fault, it's the circumstances' fault, it's everyone's fault but our own. Brethren, the reason you sin is because you chose to. Right? And so he said, don't you blame God. Don't you say God tempted me. Don't you say that God put me here in this situation and I had no way out. He says, so when you are tempted, understand that it's not God and it's not his fault. For God, look what he said in verse number 13. He said, for God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. It is an impossibility for God to be tempted. Now, why is that? Someone tell us why God cannot be tempted. Who said that? He's perfect. That's exactly right. He's whole. W-H-O-L-E. He's whole. God has need of nothing. He is absolute self-sufficient. He is perfection. And not only is he W-H-O-L-E, he is H-O-L-Y. He is holy. He is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Have you ever noticed? Notice what the way James said this now. He said in verse number 13, he said that God cannot be tempted with evil. And the reason why is what we've heard tonight. God is whole. He's perfect. He's complete. He is holy. He is light. And in him is no darkness at all. There is not even a possibility that God could sin. You do understand that. Oh, wait a minute now, preacher. Jesus was tempted. Well, look at it now. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Was Jesus tempted with evil? Yes. Yes. Oh, I found a contradiction in the Bible, someone might say. Are you sure? The Bible didn't say Jesus couldn't be tempted. It said God cannot be tempted. But isn't Jesus God? He is, 100%. But that's not all he is. He's also 100% man. And it was the humanity of Christ that was tempted. That's what makes it so wonderful that Jesus did not yield to temptation. Amen. That's why Jesus could have turned those. Listen, the divine part of Christ, the divinity of Christ could have turned those stones into bread. But I'm not divine. I give you a chance to say amen and you don't say it. I'm going to quit giving y'all chances. That's why Jesus didn't turn the stones into bread, because he knew we couldn't do it. And he is our example. He was tempted at all points as such as we, yet without sin. He was tempted. You know what Jesus did when he was tempted? He did what I'm trying to persuade you to do. He quoted the Word of God. He used the sword of the Spirit. And he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. You want to conquer temptation? Hide God's Word in your heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. Let the book of the law, look, Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You won't be falling around and falling into every temptation that comes along if you'll let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. You'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might when you take hold of the sword of the Spirit and you suit up in the whole armor of God, brethren. See, that's where it's at. You can't just go through life coasting, thinking, well, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm a Christian now. I go to church. Hey, you got to get in the Word. You got to get the Word in you. That's what's going to help us to overcome temptation. And so James said this. He said, now let no man say when he's tempted. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14. Now that James said, now that we have that out of the way, I just want you to know that God's not going to tempt you, that it's Satan tempting you to do evil when you're tempted with evil. That's Satan. God will test you, your faith. But he said, when you're tempted to do evil, God's nowhere in that. That is the devil. And then he said, but every man, watch it carefully what he says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now, you may remember when you were, some of you may, some of you won't, in case it's made its way around. I'm finding that some things are making its way back. When I was a younger man, there used to be this saying, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil's never made anyone do anything. The devil can tempt you to do it. The devil can entice you to do it. But if you do it, you do it by choice. Now, there's a saying, and I believe it, the devil can't make us do it, and God won't make us do it. And the reason being is we're free moral agents. We are a free-willed being. We make our choices. And what James is saying here is when you choose to sin, don't blame it on your parents. Don't blame it on your upbringing. Don't blame it on this and that, the preacher of the church. Listen, I know that there's terrible influences. I get it. I have counseled with people. I've been a part of bad influences and part of bad environments. I understand it. But at the end of the day, we still are the ones who make our decisions. And so he said in verse 14, but every man, how many people? Say it again. Every man is tempted. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. You see that word drawn away? It's very interesting. It's like a lure that just lures people away. Well, the world, the flesh, the devil has a way of luring people. Have you ever noticed the advertisement and the marketing for sin? Well, I tell you, they make it look good, don't they? Come on, don't they? No, not to me, preacher. Come on. Experts. To get you to do things that you know you shouldn't do. To get you to buy things that you know you shouldn't buy. Even when it's not sin. These people can sell ice to an Eskimo. These people are experts. And a lot of it is demonically driven. It's very enticing. You see, I want you to look with me at verse 14 again. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. There's something in you. Have you ever noticed? We said why God could not be tempted. You know why you can? Because you're not complete. Because you're not self-sufficient. Did you notice the person that tempted Eve was a person of sin? Did you notice that Eve never tempted Adam until she became a person of sin? Did you notice that? You know who tempts people? People in sin. That's who tempts people. Now listen carefully. I hope you don't know anything about this. I really do. But everybody that's a drinker wants people to drink with them. Nobody wants to drink alone. Everybody that's a drug addict wants someone to do drugs with them. Everyone that's in sin wants people to be in sin with them. Nobody wants to be in sin alone. And when a man is tempted, He has drawn away of his own lust. Now, I don't know what your own lust is. You don't know what my own lust is. It may be more than one or two or three or half a dozen. But every fish has its bait. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I'm not. But I'm told, and some of you fishermen, we have any fishermen in the congregation? Okay. One fisherman? Okay. Now they're coming out of the woods. I mean the water. Fish don't come out of woods. Amen. Bears do. Or skunks. But in this case, water. So, fish. I'm told that depending on how you're fishing, what fish you're fishing for, different fish prefer different bait. Is that so? Help me out, fisherman. Okay. And I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know. Is that so? Yeah. So, when Satan is coming after me, he may not use the bait to lure me, to entice me, that he would for this man, or this man, or this lady, or this lady. But now he does have a toolbox. He has an arsenal full of bait. And so just because I would not be tempted by the bait that he puts on the hook for you, does it mean that you wouldn't be tempted, or that you wouldn't be tempted for the bait he puts on the hook for me? We may all be tempted in some areas, but there may be some special areas. Do you know that the devil knows what to bait the hook for you with? Notice what it says in verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. What is it the devil's trying to get you to do? What bait has he put on the hook that he's trying to lure you? You know when the fight really begins? Now listen carefully. The Bible says that there's a fight going on in our lives. I'll be through here in just a moment, but I don't want you to miss this. The flesh and the spirit, they're contrary one to another. I mean, there is a battle going on. Now, as I said, I'm not a fisherman. I've been fishing with some people. I've watched some fishing shows. Tell you, when that fish takes that bait and then they find out there's a hook in it, the fight is on. The struggle is on. That's when the struggle begins. You know, when we take the bait, the fight really doesn't begin until we realize there's a hook in it. And then the fight is on. I don't want to be indiscreet. I don't want to be out of place. But there's a reason they call prostitutes hookers. They get their hook in people. And sin gets its hook in people. That's not something I came up with. That is a known fact. It's a historical fact. They lure, they attract, and then they hook. Sin is that way. You see the word enticed? That word means trapped. Look it up in your Strong's Concordance. Every man is drawn away of his own lust and trapped. I tell you, once the hook gets in, you're trapped. Sin traps you. It does. It all looks so liberating. It all looks so fun and free until the hook gets in. And then the fight is on, but you're trapped. And James is saying, be cautious. Don't let temptation go to the next level. Don't let temptation go to the next level. Well, I can't help being tempted. Well, none of us can. I think it was Martin Luther that said, we cannot prevent a bird from flying over our heads, but we can prevent it from nesting in our hair. If the first look was attractive, don't look again. That could be a car, that could be a person, that could be a possession. If you're being tempted to lie, you need to deal with it. if you're being tempted to deceive, if you're being tempted to gossip, if you're being tempted to find fault in other people, to tear people down, you know automatically this is not of God, and the devil's trying to get me to get involved in things that are not right, that's going to hurt people, that's going to stain the cause of Christ, and I want to get away from this. And so he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away. The lure. Now listen, stand on your mark, brethren. Don't get drawn away. You know what's right. You know what's right. Stand on your mark. Say, I'm strong. You sure? Are you considering something you shouldn't be considering? Are you looking at things you shouldn't be looking at? I'm not accusing nobody. I'm just saying be cautious. Are you listening to people that you shouldn't be listening to? Are you saying things you shouldn't be saying? You know God's not pleased with it. There just comes a time we have to deal with sin in our life. Amen. Then he said this. Once he's tempted and drawn away, when you're tempted, the Bible says run away. Don't get drawn away. Flee fornication. We're supposed to flee sin, not be drawn away. Run away, right? Get away from it. And then it says, when you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, now this is where it gets real ugly. Up until now, you think, well, it'll work out. I can handle this. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over these many years in ministry that have told me I can handle it. Or I thought I could, if it's on the backside of it, brokenness all around them. I thought I could handle this. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And at first they think, well, you know what? This is exactly what I wanted. This is exactly what I wanted. Maybe that fish has been reeled in and it's getting its picture made with the fisherman because he doesn't know there's a frying pan on the other side of the campfire. Oh, look at this one. That's a record fish. Wow. That fish is getting all kinds of attention, notoriety. But sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now what are we going to do? What are you going to do? I wrote down some things. I hope you'll write them down. Say, preacher, I don't want to fall into sin. I don't either. None of us do. I don't want to mess up. I know you don't. But there's a lot of people that have messed up that didn't want to mess up. Not wanting to mess up is not all that it takes to not mess up. Well, I'm determined. I've already told you, determination is not the way you win the battle with temptation. It takes dependence. You need some help. I need some help. We all need help. And I'm glad that God's Word gives us help, aren't you? Now, a lot of times when people think about sin, they think about immorality. And that is sin. And they think about drunkenness or drugs or murder. I mean, heinous, wicked things. But can I tell you, jealousy is a sin. We treat jealousy like it's just, oh, well, you know, everybody's jealous of somebody. Listen, jealousy is a sin. Envy is a sin. Revenge is a sin. Spite is a sin. Lying is sinful. Deceitfulness is sinful. And if we're going to live a clean, moral, godly life, we're going to have to learn what it is to fight sin. Are you in the sin-fighting business? I believe you are. Let me give you some things that maybe would help you as you fight the good fight. I hope that it will. Number one, dependence. Jesus said, without me, John 15, 5, you can do nothing. And you have to understand that. Please, please understand that if we're going to win this battle, if we're going to finish our course, if we're going to cross the finish line successfully in this race that we're running as a Christian, we're going to need some help from God. Amen? Because we can't do it on our own. Please don't think you can. Please don't think you can. Now, you can do all things, but the Scripture doesn't end there. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So it's dependence. I hope you'll do that. Number two, you need to walk in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, this I say then, Galatians 5, 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. Just said you won't fulfill the temptation. Right? Walk in the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? How do I walk in the Spirit? Well, you know, you get God's Word in you, and you obey what the Spirit says. You hide God's Word in your heart. Why? That you won't sin against Him. You get God's Word in your heart so that whatever you do in word and deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Meditate in God's Word. Don't get too busy now. Don't get too good of a Christian to where you don't think you need to read your Bible anymore. As a preacher, I need to read my Bible regularly. I need to study my Bible regularly. People say, well, you know, I wish I was a preacher. I wouldn't have any battles. I wish you as a preacher say you would know some battles. Listen, I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but please don't think that preachers don't fight battles, okay? I told you earlier, sometimes the more you're in front of people or the more people think that you're something, and I don't think I'm anything. I know what I am. But sometimes what people think people are, those are the ones that the devil comes after because he knows, hey, I can take that one down, I'll take some down with him or her, right? Now, I don't mean her as a preacher. I mean her as a good lady. Don't get any ideas, ladies. Hide God's Word in your heart. Depend on the Lord. Realize you can't do it yourself. Number three, pray. Pray. Listen, Jesus said what? Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Not that you wouldn't be tempted, but that you don't enter into it. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Are you praying? Are you praying, deliver us from temptation? That's what Jesus said, pray. Isn't it, brethren? Isn't it? Watch and pray. Do you pray, God, help me not to fall to temptation? God, help me not to be drawn away and enticed. Help me, Lord. I need you. I depend on you. Hide God's word in your heart. Pray. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and what? Find grace to help in the time of need. Right? Is that what the Word says, brethren? Pray. And then finally, if you and I do sin, don't hide it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. Confess your sin. If you'll confess your sin, the Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess it. You have sin in your life right now? Known unconfessed sin in your life. Say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not either. But that gives us no right to harbor unconfessed sin in our lives. Unconfessed sin will lead to more sin. You must confess your sin. Because if you cover it, listen to me carefully now, if you cover your sin, it's only going to lead to more sin. That's why the Bible says if you will confess and forsake. Because confession is the first step of forsaking. All right? All right, let's stand to our feet. Now, I preach this message, I believe, as a warning. I think I'm preaching it to a group of people that live for the Lord, that love Jesus, that want to do what's right. But I tell you, if I had one group of people to preach a message about sin and the devastation of sin and how we have to really be cautious, that would be the people I'd want to preach it to. People that are serving the Lord. People that are trying to do what's right. People that are trying to live right. Because those are the people that Satan's coming after. These folks that have no standard in their life, they have no godliness in their life, they have no conviction in their life, they have no zeal or concern for the lost in their life, Satan's not going to come after them. Brethren, you know that and I know that. It's people that are wanting to do something for Jesus. People that are wanting to make a difference. He's trying to shut us up and shut us down. But we've been admonished in the Scripture to having done all to stand, just to stand. Would you bow your head with me? Are you taking necessary precautions to guard yourself from sin? To resist temptation? To not be drawn away of your own lust? To set up some parameters and possibly even to set up some accountability partners to help guard your life? Are you personally doing things to guard your heart, your eyes, your ears? If you're not, you're playing around with a very dangerous thing. And I pray to God that you would not take this lightly. Please. It's a very serious thing. There's too many wounded in the spiritual battlefield. Don't be one of them. Please. We're going to take just a few moments and have just time of silence and reflection, and then I'll close in prayer, and we'll close our service in a time of prayer.